Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
You have your speakers on?
Welcome to Spiritual Engineering Radio. Building extraordinary relationships with your show hosts, Thomas and Patricia Strausser. This will be an uplifting hour filled with information, inspiring interviews, and music to connect you to your own spiritual energy. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this show that could transform your life.
Friends from all over the world. Here we are, a Spiritual Engineering Radio Show, the new science for happiness and extraordinary relationships. This is Patricia Strausser here from beautiful Colorado.
And this is Tom. I'm the co-host here and co-founder of Spiritual Engineering, and we hope everybody is dialing in and listening to us, and we hope to have a great time. We're going to be talking about spiritual engineering today and how we apply science to find spirituality. So it's a completely new take on this, and I am an engineer, a chemical engineer. I've worked in the petroleum industry for over 30 years, hate to say that, worked all over the world, and also have a master's degree in psychology. So spiritual engineering combines psychology, engineering, and science with a personal spirituality to find answers that work in life, answers that really work. Today, we are going to welcome a special guest.
Amy Barbera. And before we talk about Amy Barbera, she is so wonderful. We just want to thank all our followers and all the emails that we have received from people all over the world about our first show. That really was a success, and we are so, so grateful and happy for this incredible reception to the show. Also, I would like to share with all of you that I am a teacher. Also, I have a degree in psychology, and I've been working with families, children, relationships for the last 20 years of my life, and I truly, truly enjoy this work that I'm doing. Today, we have an incredible show. We're going to talk about one of the main laws of physics and how it does apply to relationships. The first law of motion of Newton. And also, we're going to have Amy Barbera. Amy Barbera, she has a voice so angelic and inspirational that really moves people. And she has an incredible story of compassion and love to share with us. She's very involved with communities. She's helping a lot of people through her music and through her contribution. And we are so pleased, so happy, and honored to have someone of the caliber of Amy Barbera coming and share with us her beautiful story and music.
And we'd like to remind you that we do have a call-in line. We'll take calls later in the show. And you can connect with us on Skype at Cosmic Citizen. The Skype line is 720, if you're on Skype, 720-379-7721. And the direct call-in line, if you're in the U.S., is 646-716-8158. That call-in number again is 646-716-8158. And we'll be looking forward to talking with you. And we have a chat line open. So if you go on Cosmic Citizen, you can open the chat line and we can chat on the air. And today we'd like as Patricia said, we're going to be talking and focusing on Newton's first law of motion and how that applies to relationships. And that's what one of the things that we do with spiritual engineering is we take physical laws, the laws of science, and see how these laws apply to our relationships and our feelings, not just our relationships, but our feelings. Because our feelings are what determine our quality of life. Our feelings, whether we feel the happiness, the sadness, the anger, all these feelings that we have day in and day out determine our quality of life, and most of them spawn and grow in relationships. They're very interconnected, so we hope to find solutions and help people find solutions on how to feel better in life and have great relationships through science.
And that's one of the beauties of spiritual engineering, Tom. What we're doing is a combination of science and spirituality. For many centuries, science and religious people, they have a debate. They think that they cannot have a commonality of conversation where they can share principles. But these, they are friends all over the world. This is a new approach to spirituality and science. They can come together for the illumination of humankind, and this is what spiritual engineering is about, to bring this physical, scientific principles and find them and apply them to our lives, to our relationships, to love, to emotions, and to our practical spirituality. Because we can unify those two realms of understanding, and we can put them together and make them work for us.
Yes, and we'd like to take this opportunity to thank Cosmic Citizen and letting us be on this air and sponsoring this show. Cosmic Citizen has a Saturday program at 10 o'clock Mountain Time in the U.S., and they have some fantastic interviews with people from all over the world, people who are hoping to uplift humanity, people who are wanting to help humanity move forward. So tune in to Cosmic Citizen at 10 o'clock on Mountain Time U.S. on Saturday morning and hear some of those interviews. So if we have a chance, if you have a chance, do that. And they're archived, too. There's some great interviews. I know they just did one this week with a man from India who is feeding a lot of the poor in India. And it's a very insightful interview, and it's archived. So you can listen to the archives, and we archive our show, again, on Cosmic Citizen, and you can turn in and listen to our show.
And also, I just want to invite you all, if you have anyone who speaks Spanish, today we'll be launching our show in Spanish. It will be called Ciudadanos of the Universe, Citizens of the Universe. And also, its purpose is to contribute to the uplifting of the planet through a positive conversation of love, charity, how to work with others, loving service, and yes, living that life purpose to illuminate the life of many. So we are very excited about all these shows that are under the umbrella of Cosmic Citizen on spiritual engineering and our new brand show, Citizens of the Universe in Spanish. So we have a lot of things going on. So thank you, Cosmic Citizen, and thank you to the fellowship that is allowing us to do this through the air and to reach so many people all over the world. Thank you, and welcome to our show.
And we're going to start with a discussion today on Newton's first law and how that law applies to relationships. And Newton's first law.
Well, Tom, when you started talking about these laws and how they apply to relationships, I thought, boy, this is too far-fetched to me. How the Newton's first law, how the laws of thermodynamics will apply to science? Can you please tell us, because you are the engineer, right? I'm not going to explain that. Can you please tell us what is this Newton's first law?
Newton's first law of motion is really simple, and it's one of the things that we still use it in physics. It's used in rocket science, actually. But you don't need to be a rocket scientist to understand how this applies to our relationships. Newton's first law simply states that an object in motion will stay in motion in the same direction unless acted upon by an outside force. Now stop and think of that. We see that all the time. If you ever played pool, you know, that's exactly how we look at playing pool. We apply a force to a ball on a pool table to make it change direction.
I remember when I was in high school, the first time that I heard about this law, my teacher explained it to me that it will work like in a space, and it will throw a ball. This ball will continue moving in a straight direction because nothing will stop that movement. And that kind of makes sense to me.
Well, nothing will stop it, and the only way to make it change direction is to have a force applied. And both of these are very important components when we look at it in terms of our relationships. And how this works with relationships,
uh-huh.
And this is the important part, is that basically if we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to keep getting what we've been getting, and we're going to keep feeling the way we're feeling. Now stop and think of that. So often we get into a relationship or have a problem, and we just keep repeating the same thing. And again, this is a definition of insanity, one of the definitions we always hear about insanity, that if you keep doing the same thing over and over and expect different results, that's insanity. So that's just a different take, a different perspective on this Newton's first law. If we want to change our life, we have to do something different. If we keep doing the same thing, we're going to get the same results.
And this is one when spiritual engineering introduces a new concept in relationship, because you say that relationships are not working because we continue doing the same things all over and over again. So we need a different model, and the different model that we are introducing is this model of building relationships, because relationships, they need to be built, and they build according to what spiritual engineering calls the natural order of things, the right way of doing things, and we build this like building a house. We build a
Yeah, we build it, and building a house, we put in the foundation first, then we put the walls up, and then we put the roof on. Now, stop and that's the way you build a house, a very systematic order, a very systematic way of building that house, and that's the way the really great relationships in their life have to be built, honey.
Are you seeing this model of the house as we put the foundation? It should be the spiritual foundation, and we're not talking about religion. We're talking about the practical spirituality that we live every day. And then we're talking about building the walls of the house. These walls are healthy self-love, learning how to love ourselves in a very loving way, respectful and compassionate way, and then finally putting the roof on the house, which means building relationship with others. This is a new paradigm, this is a new model, and this is the way that we personally and in our practice and ministry, we have found that people who are absolutely happy, they are building relationships, they look at relationships in this order. The spiritual relationship should be first, second, the relationship with self, and finally, putting the roof, the relationship. Because all of our feelings, the way that I feel, is determined by the way that we react to our relationships. So these relationships are not working because we all have these old habits in our relationships.
Right, and this is a new paradigm, this is a new model, I call it the 21st century model for relationships, because again, going back to this, what we're doing is not working. And we've talked about, if you listen to the first program, marriage. Marriage is our premier relationship, the one we spend the time, the effort, the money, the energy. And whether we're married or not, we have to recognize that this marriage relationship is the one that people invest heavily in. And our failure rate is horrendous. 48% first-time marriages fail and in divorce. 67% second marriages and 73% third marriages end in divorce. Now, think of that. That is really a case of where we keep doing the same thing and expect different results. We do that in this tremendous relationship of marriage, And these are the cold, hard facts about how successful we are not. And it really reflects how, what does it say about our other relationships? If this is the best we can do, where does that leave our other relationships?
And so many people out there, honey, they stay in these relationships. They stay in marriages or jobs they don't like. And they get used to this misery. They used to get feeling like that. They say, oh, everybody feels like that. You know what? Should I feel different? Oh, life is hard. Yes, life is hard, but it doesn't mean that we have to be miserable. So we just get used to this kind of feelings. We get used to depression. We get used to sadness. We used to second-rate relationships and not to have an incredible, fulfilled life. And I understand that there's an interesting analogy that it relates and explains why do we get used to these feelings.
Yeah, the facile analogy. And this is an analogy you hear if you study psychology. It might bother some people, but the way they used to test these things and try to apply things, that, again, out there in physical laws and do experiments and understand how these applied to human beings. And the facile analogy is something that says that if you drop a frog in a pot of hot water, the frog jumps out. He's not dumb. He gets out of the water. If you drop him in the hot water, he just jumps right out. But if you drop that frog into a pot of cool water, or lay that frog in there, and then slowly heat the water, the frog will stay there until he dies. He slowly gets used to the discomfort and the misery and just stays there.
And you mentioned this is a powerful analogy that really helped me to understand how we get used to these feelings of misery. However, I must say that sometimes when we share this analogy, we have animal rights advocates who say, though this is a cruel experiment, but we must say that in the beginning of this experimentation, unfortunately, many animals were used, and that we do not advocate putting a frog on hot water on any mane. It's just we use the analogy to explain how this works. People get used to this misery. We don't even know what is happening around us. We don't even know how the quality of our life is being affected by these second-rate relationships or second-rate lives, and we just get used and we go day by day struggling without experiencing the happiness that we are supposed to experience in this life.
Well, yeah, we get used to settle. We settle for disturbed feelings. We settle for mediocrity, and we think that's all there is. And that's what Fassel says. We just think that that's all we can have. And this, again, back to Newton's first law, is what it's telling us. If we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to keep getting what we're getting. It's not rocket science. If nothing changes, nothing changes. If we want to change our feelings, if we want to change the way we see life, the way we experience life, if we want to change our relationships and improve and find those fantastic relationships, we have to make changes. We can't keep doing the same thing over and over. And Fassel said this Fassel analogy is just so good because it lets us know that we arrive at this point where we settle. We settle for second best. We settle for something because, for two reasons, I think, Patty, because people don't realize they're settling. They don't realize how much happiness and joy and peace and love is out there that they can experience. And even if they do realize that, they don't have the tools, the skills to get out there and make that a part of their lives. And that's what we hope to offer are some actual skills, tools to change your life.
And one of the things that I would like to mention is that we not only settle in relationships, we settle with ourselves. We settle with our spirituality. We settle with our jobs. We settle with our children. We settle with the state of things. We're not proactive into trying to change things. We just say, oh, well, that's the way it is. Oh, well, that's how my family used to be. Oh, well, I've been like this all my life. I don't need to change right now. So, oh, well, I'm not getting everything that I need out of my life, out of my spirituality. But what the heck, you know, I'm going to get it sometime. And we get settled. We get accustomed to this. It's like we're settling ourselves for the less instead of seeing how much we can, how productive, how what our real potential is.
It really is. And I love a saying, I think it originally came from Voltaire, that the good is often the enemy of the best. And that's one of the things that happens.
Oh, I like that. How is that?
The good is often the enemy of the best.
Wow.
And sometimes what I used to settle for, I couldn't even call good today. But I never experienced the best, and I just settled for good. And one of the things, change, this type of change takes some effort. It takes some work. And people sometimes are just too doggone lazy to do it. It's not that bad. It's not that bad yet. You know, I'm not that bad. And we just settle for it. We settle for the anger. We settle for the feelings of low self-esteem. We settle for the feelings of, I'm in a relationship that it's okay, but it's not that good. We just settle. And the good is the enemy of the best. And believe me, whether it's in relationships or no one is going to go through life feeling top of the world all the time.
No.
It's impossible. But we can enjoy peace of mind, serenity, no matter what is happening in the outside world. We can actually come to that place and have the tools and the skills to where we can keep that center, that serenity, that peace, no matter what is happening.
Let's say that we have a couple, and I work with couples all the time, and they complain about this. They complain about their partners. They blame their partners for the problems in their relationship. And not very often I find or I hear people saying, oh, this is what I'm doing that is contributing to the turmoil in the relationship. Don't you think, Thomas, that this will be probably the first step to find a solution of what is happening in that relationship, to take some responsibility, to say, this is my part, this is the way that I'm contributing to this problem?
Well, it is, and the thing that we use that's different as from an engineering standpoint is a process. We use a very specific process. And the number one thing we have to do, the first thing, not the number one from being the most important, but the first thing, the steps in this process, I'll give them to you, and we'll work through them as we go through the shows. The first thing we have to do is identify the problem. We can't solve any problem until we know what the problem is.
That's right.
So we have to identify the problem and strip back the symptoms that we have, the symptoms of feelings. These are all symptoms, the anger, the worry, the anxiety, the low self-esteem, the letting other people push your buttons.
So what you're saying, Tom, is that these symptoms will be that force that will continue moving the person in the same direction, which is continue feeling the same way, because the same feelings are brewing all the time. They're there.
They're there, and they are part of, they're the symptom. They're not the real problem. And that's one of the things that I had to come to grips with, the anger that I had, the feeling of, like I said, low self-esteem for me, the feeling of letting other people have power over me, my feelings, give me feelings. These were all symptoms, and I had to come to where I could really identify the root problem. Then I have to identify a solution. Then I have to do the work and implement that solution in my life over and over and over again until I change those patterns, those habits that I have. And as I do these things, as I see the problem and start identifying the solution, I start changing my feelings. That's what we do, and we're doing something different. We're doing something different than what we used to do that's actually producing results in our life.
And this is what I can relate to, this Newton first law. So if we continue going the same way, we will continue feeling the same way. I probably at the end of our life, we're going to look back and we're going to say, well, what did I do with my life? Why am I still resentful, keeping this resentment for 20, 30 years? That is just not right. People cannot be happy if we do that. if we always envy or we always stress out or worry about what's happening, and there's no progress to our life, and we will feel worse. I have talked to people that are 60, 70 years old, and they still have this horrible resentment for things that happened 20 years, and they complain why they're not happy, because they continue doing the same things over and over and over again. Also, people complain about getting overweight, and I have that problem. I love sugar. I love ice cream. I love cakes. But then, if I put on weight and I keep eating the same sugar and candy, of course, I'm going to get more overweight. So the only way to stop that insanity is to stop doing what is creating the problem. And that's what spiritual engineering does. It produces, it provides tools, it provides some very specific tools that help us to change the direction of our life. And that's what it has done to my life. So this is a fascinating, fascinating topic, Thomas, and how this Newton first law applies to our relationships and our feelings.
It does. It helps us find out, first of all, it lets us recognize that, and that is one of the most important things, that if we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to keep getting what we're getting. And I don't want to keep repeating this, but it's so important. Because we get to those places in our lives that we want to make changes, or we may think we want to make changes, but we don't have the tools. And that's one of the things that we hope to offer the next week, are very specific tools on how to do this. I want to give you just one thing to think about. How many times have you heard the admonition to love your neighbor as yourself? Over and over, we've heard that in our life. And see what they're telling us. What Jesus was telling us, Buddha was telling us, is that we not only need to love other people, but we're only capable of giving or receiving love in direct proportion to the way we love ourselves. And see, that's the key, Patty, to the relationships. This is doing it different. This is looking at it different. Is learning to love ourselves and learning to be okay with ourselves, and then we can have some fantastic relationships. But this is part of identifying something different to do, a different way of looking at things, a different way of approaching things that actually produces results.
Let's say that there's a person who is out there listening to us and having problems in their relationships. What would be the first step for this person to start tackling that problem?
Again, we have to, number one, be aware that we have a problem, that we want a solution, and we're willing to do something about it. That's one of the things about solving a problem. We have to know we've got a problem. We have to identify a solution. We have to want to solve the problem, not just settle for the way we're living. And some problems that we have today may not be that big a problem.
Right.
It's not worth the effort or something. We may just decide and choose to live that way. But the biggest thing is that if we want to make that choice, if we really want the change, then we have got to have the tools that actually affect that change, that produce the change we want.
Another element that is I have found very important in this process of recognition is to take that look at ourselves and ask ourselves in a very honest way, what is my part in the problem? How I'm contributing to the problem? And when we do that, we'll be able to step back and maybe analyze what is it that I'm doing in a personal level that is creating that turmoil in the relationship. Perhaps it's my temper. Perhaps I'm not patient, well, not only with my spouse or my significant other. We're talking about relationships as a whole. The relationship with myself. I learn how to be compassionate, learn how to love myself, cut me some slack. Those are very important elements that we need to take in consideration when trying to approach a problem in a relationship.
Yes, and it's one thing that, again, we have to recognize the problem, we have to have the solution, and have the tools to get it. And that's what we hope to offer over the next few shows. We're going to be talking about energy and how to apply our energy, how to do this, and let us find actual solutions at work. So this is the first part. This is Newton's first law. And we will talk about energy, energy efficiency, and very specific tools on how to apply these and move forward in our relationships.
Well, today I will change the direction of my life. I will do something different. I don't know what it is.
And we'll take a break, just a few moments, actually, and then be back and have our guest, Sarah, on to interview and some of her wonderful original music.
About this interview, and let's just listen for a little bit about some of her songs. She has an angelic and inspirational voice, and I just can't wait to listen to this talented and gifted young woman who just brings a connection between the vocalist and the listener. So, good morning, Amy. Are you there?
Good morning. I'm so excited to be on your show today.
Oh, thank you so very much for being here with us, inspiring us and sharing your powerful voice and your gifts. So how are you doing?
I am absolutely wonderful. Everything is just going so amazing in my life right now, and working on my second album and working on a new Paint Me a Rainbow dance and possibly writing a book. So just so many exciting things are happening right now. This is like the best year of my life. I'm very excited.
That's wonderful. You are so blessed. Can we listen? Can we play a little bit of your song, first song, Make Me a Butterfly?
Yes, I would love that.
All right. Tell us a little bit more about that song, Amy. What does that mean?
Well, I wrote that song because the butterfly represents hope in people's lives. It represents resurrection and coming out of your cocoon and just being free. And so I wrote that song for any person that's going through any kind of hopelessness or physical, emotional, spiritual, you know, sickness, anybody who just needs encouragement. It's kind of an overall universal song. And actually, when I, when God gave me the song, he gave me all the lyrics and the melody line. Before I actually started to write it, I actually, like, went in and researched the lifespan of a butterfly and the cocoon stage. So, 'cause when I wrote it, I wanted to write it from an authentic perspective of the butterfly. So it's
that
just an overall.
That is truly amazing. Will you say that you were going in a direction, you were doing certain things, and you have an exterior force that helped you to change that direction, and this song helped you to see things in a different way?
Yes. Well, this song just kind of, it, like, brings hope. Like, you know, we're going to all go through things in our life where we feel like we're, you know, depressed, or, you know, we'll run into situations in life that, you know, might not be in our favor. We might go through an obstacle of losing a loved one, or, you know, being sick or whatever. And, you know, when we think of the cocoon of a butterfly, you know, when you're in that area where you feel trapped and you feel, you know, at this dark place, and that gives you the hope that, you know, that you'll come out of that and that you'll fly and you'll be transformed into God's butterfly. So I kind of wrote it. And, you know, in my own life, I went through the eating disorder, anorexia, and some, you know, different relationship breakups in my life. So I understand, you know, the pain of going through different things, and how you can go from that to becoming, you know, a butterfly that's free to fly.
Have you had any deep insight about going through those pain, going through those broken relationships, going through that anorexia? What are the things that you weren't doing right that it continued making you feel that way? Have you had any thought about that?
Well, I'm in my 30s now, so I overcame anorexia in my late teens, early 20s.
Good for you.
So, I mean, it's now I'm God is using me to, you know, help other people with eating disorders and in all areas, not just with eating disorders. But that year that I decided to get well, I went to a counselor for a full year, once a week, and I was able to get to the very deep areas of my heart that why I had the eating disorder to begin with. You know, we all have ways of coping. Some people cope with alcohol, you know, other people cope with gambling, other people cope with, you know, anorexia or bulimia or whatever. And you have to get to that core of why, you know, why are you doing that? Why are you? Because if you don't get to that, you're always going to go from one coping mechanism to another. And so it was a really hard process, because you have to get to places in your heart that you don't normally go, or maybe you don't even aren't aware that we're even there, you know. And it was the best thing that I ever did, and getting the counseling and the relationship things, that's just a part of life, you know, breakups. Huh? And now I'm with the love of my life, and we'll be getting married.
That's,
you know,
wonderful.
Yeah, so, but, you know, you have to go through those things. And I dated a really wonderful guy named Patrick when I had anorexia, and I consider him one of my angels in life. He helped me through the whole eating disorder. But when I moved to Florida in my early 20s and he wanted to marry me, it's not that he was a bad person or anything. There was nothing wrong with him. It's just that we had different paths in life. He was meant to stay in Hagerstown, Maryland, and work for his dad's business, and I was meant to be in Florida to pursue my calling by God and my music career. And we had different paths, and he took it really hard when I broke up with him. But, you know, I consider him one of my angels and have a high respect for him. And he was a wonderful relationship. So not all relationships have to end in a tragic way. You know, sometimes it's just that time in your life, that person's meant to be there for that particular time of your life, that situation, and that they might not be continue on down the path with you, but they'll always stay in your heart. So.
That's so true. And what is so beautiful to me for what you have said is that you had to take a stand to take that honest look and say, I have a problem. That's the first step for healing. I have a problem. I'm going to look for help. And you had the courage to stand up and to look at yourself and say, this is my part, this is how I'm contributing to my problem, and this is what I'm going to do about it. And then you have that exterior force to help you to move forward.
Yes. Yeah, and I just was tired of being, I was tired of being sick and tired. You know, I'm a very bubbly person, and going through the eating disorder, it makes you become so secluded, and you're, it just becomes your whole life, that addiction, you know, and I just didn't want to be like that anymore. And it had a lot to do with forgiveness. I had to forgive my mom, forgive my parents. You know, I have wonderful parents. But, you know, growing up, they had their imperfections too. And, you know, you have to – the biggest learning lesson I learned from my healing and going through the counseling is not only forgiving myself, but forgiving those that maybe I thought hurt me in some way. And then that's the first step to real true healing is actually forgiveness. And it's not always easy, you know. You know, because it's hard sometimes, you know, to face those things, but it's really very freeing, frees your spirit, actually.
Hi, Amy. Amy, so this is Tom. I want to welcome you and thank you so much for your music.
Well, thank you. You're the best.
And I love what you and Patricia have been talking about, because this fits so well with what we do with spiritual engineering, is identifying that problem. And that's one of the things that we really work on. And we all, most people grow up with this void inside of us, this hole. And like you were saying, we use other things to fill it. And it's just, you know, and I just want, I love that butterfly song. And I just wanted to share something very quickly, try to, and let you get back to Patricia. One of my most fond memories in my life is a time when I used to spend a lot of time way up in the mountains in Wyoming, and I was riding back on a horse and came across a place where there were just hundreds of butterflies just hatching.
Coming out.
It was awesome, Amy, and this is one of my best memories. I sat there on a horse, and these hundreds of butterflies hatched around me, up, landed all over me and the horse, landing. I mean, they were just hundreds of, and this was so, I was so far up in the wilderness that I could sit there and I could actually hear their wings beating.
Wow.
I love butterflies. I'll let you two give that.
Wow, that's amazing.
That was great. That was a great moment.
That is an incredible, incredible song. And I truly believe, Amy, that you had, when you came up with that song, you had like a spiritual experience. How was the creative process? Can you please tell us more about that? That sounds so empowering.
You mean about Make Me a Butterfly?
Yes, well, about that particular song.
Well, I had already had a fan base on MySpace, and you know, I had some of my songs, you know, God's Special Angel, some of my songs up. And so the Lord was bringing people my way that had a lot of hurt, because the type of music that I do, my music attracts people that really need inspiration and hope. So I had this big, enormous fan base on MySpace, and people were writing me all the time. And I just wanted to write a universal song that people could relate to, that, you know, could bring hope to people. And a lot of people love the butterfly. It's a symbol of hope. It's a symbol of beauty and new life and new beginnings. And so I was at my job at the time. I had a lot of downtime. My boss told me, you know, once you're done your work, you can do whatever. And I used that time that God gave me at that particular job that I had at that time to write songs. And I would go on the computer and I would research the butterfly. And, you know, from being inspired from my own life and from the people on the computer that, you know, were writing me every day, I was able to make the song. It was like instantaneous. It was like the lyrics and the melody of the song came to me right away. It was definitely a divine thing from God.
Uh-huh.
Many of my songs come divinely. God's Special Angel came that way, or God will give me a part of the song, and then, you know, I'll be inspired by something to finish it, just depending. So that's how it came about. And I know you deal a lot with relationships. I'm working on my second album. And I wrote a song years ago called Your Heartbeat Brings Me Home. And I know in today's world, I haven't recorded it yet. It'll be on the second album. But in today's world, there's a lot of divorce. A lot of people want to end their relationships. And because it's hard, you know, marriage and even if you're not married, just living together or whatever, it's very hard to try to mesh two lives together. And I wrote a real honest song about, the trials that you'll go through, but there's something that bring my heartbeat, your heartbeat brings me home. And so that's going to be a really real song. You know, even with my relationship, you know, with TC, it's not always perfect. We do have our days of fighting, and there's just something that keeps us together, and you know, and he's just my heart. And so I think that song is going to be successful as far as people will be able to relate to it, just like Make Me a Butterfly.
So it seems like you're using your music to heal, to help heal a lot of people. Where people can go and look for your music, where they can be purchased? If they want to help promote music?
Well, my CD and songs are available on CD Baby at www.cdbaby.com, and then you have to push the /, you have to put CD, and then you have to put /, Amy Barbera, which is B-A-R-B-E-R-A 2. I'm also on iTunes, Amazon, all the major, you know, internet websites. But the best way I tell people, it's the easiest way to find me is just Google my name, Amy Barbera. It's A-M-Y-B-A-R-B-E-R-A. And every single website that I'm on, from MySpace to Facebook to YouTube to Reverb Nation to iTunes, everywhere, it'll come up. Because I'm the only Amy Barbera singer, so it comes up. I'm also working on a...
Yeah, that's wonderful. I'm pretty sure that people will be looking for you, Amy, because your voice and your message of hope and healing is truly, and I like when you say it's divinely inspired. I really connect with that. Can we listen to your next song, Paint Me a Rainbow?
Yes.
A little bit more about that.
No, what was the question? I'm sorry.
Yes, no, that's fine. You know, many people have problems with my Colombian accent, so I'm used to that.
my sister's husband is Colombian.
Maybe we are related in some way.
Yes, maybe we are. Oh.
The question was, you talk about the therapeutic, the healing aspect of your music. Can you please tell us more about that?
Well, you know, definitely my songs are God-inspired. It's just the direction that I'm called to be a healing artist. And when I write a song, I always think about that. Like even with Paint Me a Rainbow, when I wrote that song, I said I went to my producer Ben and I said I want this to be a fast song. I want it to be a happy song. And so ever since I've been up on the computer, and even before I was on the computer, even when I was just going in to sing in children's hospitals, even when I didn't have my own songs and I first started singing as a worship singer at church, people would always come up to me and say, you have like a healing presence about you, or when you sing, it makes me cry, or I can feel kind of the anointing of God. And I think God has appointed me to be a healing artist and a healing singer, not just for the Christian community, because even though I'm a Christian, my heart is to be outside of the church walls. As a matter of fact, I have a huge atheist following. I have the gay community, which I love with all my heart. They love my music, the New Age community. So, you know, I want to be like Jesus and be out around other people that are, you know, don't maybe believe the same as me, and bring his healing and his message of love and hope. And I think that's what it's all about, you know. It's not really about trying to tell people, you know, my belief is better than your belief. It just causes so much division. So I'm trying to bring healing, not only, you know, in a spiritual, emotional way, but to bring healing with bringing people together that normally might not, you know, even come together. And I love meeting all different types of people. So,
Amy, this is Tom. I think that's so wonderful, because that's exactly what we're trying to do with the spiritual engineering, that we focus, we're Christian, but we focus on being the spiritual contact, the spiritual power, the love of the Father, the love of God. And it's amazing when we've had an opportunity to do this in China, in Beijing. And when we talk about that power, of that spiritual power, that spiritual energy, people open up and relate. And it's so good to hear other people that's what it's about. People don't have to believe what I believe, like you're saying. But, boy, when we can introduce them to this idea of God, whatever they want to call it, however they want to do it, it changes lives.
Go ahead.
Yes. And then, absolutely. And then we will have you back in a couple of weeks, and then we can talk more about this power within, this divine power that inspires our lives and make these profound and meaningful changes in our lives, and actually help us to become what we are meant to be. And you will bring more songs, but today we just want to thank you for being here. Thank you for your ministry. Thank you for being the voice of healing and love and compassion. Thank you for touching so many people, Amy. Thank you for being here.
Yes, and thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm so happy and just honored and blessed to talk with you guys and to be on your wonderful show.
All right, so we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Have a wonderful day, Amy.
You too. You take care.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So listen to a little bit more of her music. That music is absolutely divine. So Paint Me a Rainbow. I like that song.
Amy Barbera with some of her wonderful music and a really inspiring interview. It's just so great to talk to people and hear people that are out there trying to do something to move the world, to help other people, to help people heal. And when people take their music and they're given such a gift by the Creator, and they take this gift and do it for the benefit of humanity, it is such a rewarding thing. And it's so wonderful just to talk to those people. And so we're going to have don't have anybody calling in, so we're going to be talking about a couple things here. We were covering today the Newton's Law on how it affects relationships, and you could hear that from Amy when she needed to make a change in her life with the anorexia. She made the change. She went and did something different. She went to a counselor. She recognized the problem, and then she found a solution, and then she had to go out and spend the effort to put that solution as part of her life. And it's such a wonderful story when you hear people do that, when you hear people recover from addiction or recover from some of these things that we have. And all of them aren't as bad as this. All of them aren't devastating things that we have in our life. They don't always pull us down to the level that some addictions do or some alcoholism does or something like that. But they do weigh us down. They stop us from enjoying the quality of life. They stop us from enjoying things that, you know, that we really are meant to enjoy. So we have to learn, what is holding us down? What's holding us back? Why do you worry? Do you have anxiety? Do you have trouble sleeping at night? Do you have to take a pill to go to sleep? Do you have to take a pill, a drink to socialize with people? What is holding us back? What is holding us from enjoying the very best in life?
And also it might be the thought of we cannot do anything about it. And Amy touched on a very important point, which is that sense of hope. Hope is that feeling that allows us to go from a state of desperation into perhaps considering that there is a solution. There is a solution. And that's what singers so powerful like Amy, like Eugene Ebner, that we had Eugene last week, and he will be back next week to share more about his inspiring music. So that's what people are doing. And I understand many people out there, they may be doing just that, bringing a message of hope, bringing a message of healing. So if you have that kind of gift, you can talk to us. Tell us how you're sharing your life with others, how your message, your own experience is helping others to recover, is helping others to find a place of hope and serenity that lives inside each one of us. Remember, inside each person in this world, without distinction, there is a piece of the divine, what Amy was talking about, such an inspiring message. So every person has that light within, has God within, that piece of the divine, that it will power your life. It will help you to change that direction. We just have to just tap into that power and make that light change our life. And that's what Amy has found through her music. That's what Eugene Ebner has found through his music also. And all these people who are changing the world, they tap into that force that helped them to change their direction and actually become something extraordinary.
That's right. And we talk about, again, back to Newton's law, that the way we change direction, it takes a force. And you mentioned that. But we all have this force. We all have this power, this energy, this divine spark within us that can actually supply the energy, supply the force to make any beneficial change that we want in our life. This is the energy. This is the power that breaks addictions, that breaks the shackles and bonds of alcoholism, that can transform us. This is the power that Abraham Maslow talked about that pushed, that transformed people with the peak experience. This is the energy, and everyone has it. It's just learning to tap into that energy, to access it, and allowing it to work in our life.
And that I'm pretty sure that that's the moment, the aha moment that Amy had when she thought about writing this powerful song. When she said, boy, I have a lot of people listening to me. I will do something good. I will give a gift. And she wrote, she was inspired. She had that aha moment, that peak experience that created such a beautiful, beautiful music. And we must thank Cosmic Citizen again for allowing us to have this show. And we hope that everybody out there has enjoyed. And we want to invite you for next week.
Yes, and we'll be back and talking a little bit more about spiritual engineering and the scientific laws. Next week we're going to talk about energy and entropy and how it affects your life. And you can get on our daily thought, write to Spiritual Engineering, spiritual-engineering.com, and we will send you our daily thought that we send out across the world. And next week we will have Eugene Ebner as a special guest, and looking forward to it. And this has been so great. Miss Patty, thank you for being with me. Thank you for co-hosting today, and thank you for being part of my life.
Thank you, honey. I love you very much, and we want to share what is working in this relationship with men. Thank you, dear. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you for experiencing Spiritual Engineering Radio. To connect with your show hosts, Thomas and Patricia Strausser, please visit www.spiritual-engineering.com. Spiritual Engineering Radio, building extraordinary relationships for the 21st century.